Good morning. Good morning, my friends. It's just Norm. And it is Saturday morning, March the 5th, I believe, 2016. Of that, I'm sure. As you may be able to tell, I'm running in Hammock Park Trails. The quiet slice of playground that I call mine. Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Great. Beautiful morning.
It is gorgeous, isn't it? Okay. I was busy looking to the left where there was somebody across Cedar Creek. And then there was someone to my right calling out a good morning. It startled me a bit. So where was I? It's about 52 to 58 degrees, somewhere in there. Or at least, that's what my wife said when she popped her head out the door this morning. I didn't check the temps. It's a bit of a chill in the air, but it's very still. There are no breezes or whipping winds. It is slightly overcast, but I see some blue breaking through. The sun is to my left, or the east, and coming up, not quite at the 12 o'clock position yet. It's not high noon yet. And those are the settings. It's amazing how extraordinarily peaceful. It's amazing what an extraordinarily peaceful balm this place brings to my soul. I feel like right now all is right with the world and in my heart and in my soul. It gives off that kind of atmosphere. I'm coming down Grant Trail, and I'll make my way onto Harris Metal Footbridge across the small trail that leads towards the eastern entrance of the park out to Patricia Avenue. As some of you may have noticed, I know three people noticed. That would be Cindy, Kevin, and Jim. I have not podcasted in about 2 weeks. I guess it's been about 2 weeks. And that's because I didn't feel like it. Anyway, as I've said in the past, and I'll say again, if you ain't got nothing to say, you shouldn't say it. And I've had nothing to say. Now, automatically, that sends up, for some, alarm signals. Now, I understand the motivation. People are like, what's going on? Are you okay? And we miss your show. Those kind of things. These are well wishes. But really, no need for worry. And I'm very actually grateful for those who have expressed concern and that they've missed the show. But I am what you call a human being. One who is prone to periods of loudness and obnoxiousness, and periods of quiet and solemnness. Those are also periods, there are also periods of happiness and joy, and those of despair and happiness, sadness, melancholy, joy, all the different emotions that I'm not adequately articulating. So sometimes you just don't feel like talking, and I haven't. Have there been factors? Maybe, but then I get into the habit of wondering, why do I feel the way I do? And then you start to come up with reasons that you assign for feeling a certain way that may not have any causation. And that can be tricky, dangerous, and confusing. So, all that to say, concisely, I haven't podcasted in a couple weeks. I didn't feel like saying anything. And not that I feel all that much like saying anything today. But I felt, at least to some extent, an obligation to start talking and see what may come of it. I've looped around Harris, and I'm back on my way towards Grant, where I will run south, but on an incline towards the back of the hammock adjacent to Our Lady of Lourdes Church. So, what to say, what to talk about. As I run through here, I think back on just casual fodder for conversation, such as watching the City of Dunedin Commission meeting on the Public Service Channel the other day, where they were debating whether to buy land adjacent to the hammock. Two properties were the topic. One was a home on Harris, where I just left, and the other is about an acre of property for $1.1 million, I think, that belongs to Our Lady of Lourdes Church. So, the Harris homestead was simply a formality. They're trying to sell it just in general. And once they found a buyer, they had to, by law, offer it to the City of Dunedin as well for purchase to embellish the park, should they so desire it, prior to them selling it to a private owner. And the City of Dunedin passed on that. It's a small homestead, but it's right there on Harris. And they could further develop the park by buying it, but it's not a biggie. The other piece, the 1 acre parcel that was being offered by Our Lady of Lourdes Church, is adjacent to the back of the hammock, as I mentioned. And that would really kind of embellish Hammock Park. I don't know how they would develop it, but it would be a nice piece of property to have. But that one I spent a little more time on, and they talked about how, really, whether it was worth it or not at this time. I guess Our Lady of Lourdes is kind of stuck that they can't develop that property because of its location, and the City of Dunedin doesn't really have the money to just buy a piece of land adjacent to the hammock for beautification at this time, so they opted not to purchase it from the church. They did talk a little bit about the turtles, or tortoises, however, excuse me, you want to define them, but they came up with an interesting piece of data, and they asked the expert on this for their thoughts on the value of the land and the preservation of turtles. And I guess there's a number of turtles, probably 10, that they know of here. I'm actually getting ready to run past the two turtle holes at the back of the hammock at the gate that separates the land. But for 10 or less turtles, there was some statistic that was commensurate with the value of the land and the fiscal incentive to preserving it for those turtles. And it was not statistically significant. However, parcels and lands that had 20 to 50 or 50 to 100 turtles would then be more fiscally incentivized for the preservation of their life and the value of all parties mentioned, if I even said all that right and made any sense. So we got 10 or less, so it's not fiscally prudent, at least for that partial reason, to purchase the property from Our Lady of Lourdes Church. there's a tidbit of information you probably never knew you needed or wanted. Coming up on Serenity Circle now. Bit past Serenity Circle and on the other side of a pause break, I lost my train of thought. I had to listen back to this to see if I can make the transition seamless. That's the extent at which I go to make a polished production. So, as well, since we spoke last, a couple of other things you might find interesting, as uninteresting or interesting as my life is to some. I completed the month of February vegan diet. How many left? Sorry to startle you. Pleasant lady with her dog and some earbuds in. I'm gonna keep running through this walk break to distance myself. But yeah, I think I told you guys that Rizal wanted to practice veganism for the month of February. So yeah, I spoke with you sometime in early February, and now it's early March. Her motivation was not clearly articulated by her, but she seemed to want to just eat healthier, and I think that she has a tender spot towards the animals of this world. I think, as best as I can tell, that was the motivation, but I was asked to join in order to support her, and I did so. And it was fairly difficult, but I did do it. 29 days of February veganism. No meat, no meat products, no eggs, no milk, no dairy, no seafood. A couple things I learned from it was, number one, how challenging it was in being creative with the menu, to which both Rizal and my wife stepped up to the plate mightily. I had things such as vegan pizza, in which there was either soy cheese used, which is a little sticky and had a little bit of an objectionable taste, but maybe it was just the brand of the cheese. And then there was another time where she made it with crushed cashews, resembling probably like a ricotta cheese type texture. I had a veggie boat in which a zucchini was carved out in the middle, and a veggie filling was put in. I had all sorts of salad. I had vegetable stir fry with tofu. I had black beans. I had kale. I had non-dairy yogurt. I had much more fruit than I ever remember having in my diet. Oranges, bananas, plums. And I'll tell you what happened. As well as noticing the challenges of being creative, I survived quite well and lost a few pounds as well. I also became intimately acquainted with the idea, which I think I already knew, that one can live on and eat a lot less than one does in our current society.
Morning.
A couple ladies doing the trail walking and talking. But yeah, Norman and a lot of us Americans can get by on a lot less food than what I take in. And it re-illustrated another point, which I already knew. My wife, whom I love with all my heart, and with whom I cherish, and with whom she has my undying devotion to, and with whom I know loves me, and with whom I plan to spend the rest of the days that God above in heaven has given me. My wife, with all the best intent that she can muster, makes it extraordinarily hard for me to eat in a way that is conducive to being healthy and losing weight. Now, this is no secret. I've shared this many times before. And this is not in any way, shape, or form a slam on her. It is just what it is. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you? Lots of dog walkers this morning. Here's another trail walker. He might be talking into the earbuds. Morning.
Morning.
Yep, he's just talking away. So, you know, when eating less and eating phenomenally more healthy. Now, my wife and Giselle did not follow this diet. It was just Roselle and I, but my wife jumped in and helped with the cooking and celebrated it with us. But mark my words, when March 1st hit, there was a steak slathered with mushrooms and gravy and mashed potatoes and salad and artichoke sitting on my table when I got home. And while I enjoy a piece of steak, it was just a little much and overwhelming, because I'm trying to eat less and healthier. And she's putting before me more and unhealthy at a certain level. So, that dilemma is still there. However, as the rest of the week progressed, the evening meals were staggered towards a healthier slant. So, for example, let's see, that was Tuesday. Wednesday was, I think, black beans and kale and white rice. And then Thursday was, what was Thursday? Can't remember, but I think it was healthy. Last night was mung bean with bits of shrimp and pieces of meat in it. But in any event, I've had to really exercise an extraordinary amount of self-control after the vegan diet was over in an attempt to continue losing weight. And I'll tell you what I've noticed about losing weight. I'm by no means where I want to be. So Giselle looked on the scale because the numbers are too tiny for me when we first started this. And I weighed, it was fuzzy to me. It was between 225 and 228. We'll say 228 just to, we'll say 225 just for general purposes. I know I was weighing more like 220 during the heart of the diet. So I had lost 8 pounds. By the end of the diet and on into this week, the scale's been hovering around 215, 216. So we can say I lost about 10 pounds. If we're going with 225. 10 pounds makes a world of difference in many ways. So for example, my clothes fit different. And by the way, don't get hung up on the number 10. I need to lose a lot more. But anyway, my clothes feel a little different. Interesting data on my Garmin in regards to my heart rate. Morning. And my running heart rate and my resting heart rate are both lower. So my running heart rate right now is 118, or I think with that extra 10 pounds, I was closer to 130, 135. The resting heart rate when I started this morning was 65, where I know it was more towards 80 to 90 previously. So it's no secret. You can see the benefits. And my goal is to continue to eat lightly and less. And it really is hard, not only with my wife. I work in a trailer with a lot of nurses who are always trying to throw parties with food. It's just not all about the food, people. And I want to subscribe to that. I want to eat to live, not live to eat. And because I have emotions, and because I have hunger, and because I have desires, it doesn't match up with when and how much others want me to eat. And one could fall prey to those emotions and desires and offers. So, for example, a simple illustration. You know you had, let's say, a banana for breakfast. And you come to work, and there's donuts there, or maybe bacon and eggs. And everybody's saying, "Oh, we bought breakfast, and have some." And you say, "No, thanks. I had some." "Oh, come on, just have some. It's not gonna," you know what I mean? There's that societal encouragement, embellishment, invitation that if you're not disciplined and you don't stand your ground, you fall prey to. And in your nose and with your eyes, those visions of bacon and egg biscuits and donuts are appealing to you. That's the way the body was designed. But anyway, I think you know what I'm trying to say. Some of us are addicted to food. Some of us are controlled by our appetites and our feelings. And I'm simply trying to reverse that process for myself. And it's challenging. But anyway, my plan is to not to continue to be a vegan, but to make more vegan or vegetarian choices and to eat smaller portions and see if I can't keep up this weight loss. Again, the gauntlet's been thrown down. It will be difficult. You know, it hurts my wife a little bit if I'm not wolfing down the food as she prepares. She even put a post on Facebook stating, "Hey, Norman, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach," and then posted the pictures of the evening meal. It's just her way. It's her cultural and intuitive fashion to make, serve, give food and feeding. And it's not meant to be destructive. It's hard to get through to that. Anyway, enough of that. What else in February since I've been gone? I ran the Gasparilla. Some of you may have seen. I posted on Facebook. And simply put, that was just a gorgeous morning and a great experience. I got in the line at the back of the pack. I ran a lot without walk breaks, which is something I've been doing lately. Not this morning, but since I had sent my Garmin away for repair and now it's back, I had run without walk breaks and done actually quite well with it. It was quite liberating at some level to just run and stop and walk when I wanted. And I still am doing that to some degree, either in skipping the first several walk breaks on a run or mixing it up and running through a walk break here and there. Just, you know, nothing regimented, nothing set in stone. So the morning of the Gasparilla was perfect temperatures, probably 50 to 60 degrees. Gorgeous blue skies. A crowd of at least 6,500 for the 15K. I got out there. I did my thing. It was what it was. I got in my car and I went home. End of story. A good run. Not much more to say about it. I went, I ran, came home. It also further cements in my mind the utility or the need or the habit of registering in organized races, which I'm just not feeling anymore. I've spoken about this in the past. I just kind of did it, so I thought I should. It was what it was. I guess if anything, it prompted me and spurred me on to run longer distances in the latter part of this winter, which I was not doing. I was more like 4 or 5 miles, 5, 6 miles here or there. But towards the run, it was more like 8, 9 miles in preparation to train. So I was very close to registering for the half marathon, which is actually, I think, this weekend. I think it's tomorrow. On March 6th, there's the Florida Half-a-thon, which I almost routinely do every year down at Fort DeSoto. And I even jumped the gun a little bit. Got a little unself-disciplined and reached out to the race director because I didn't want to use active.com to register. So I had messaged him and said, can I just pay you on the side? And he said, sure. So I sent in my registration form and I was planning on sending in a check afterwards because I emailed him the registration form. I was going to mail in a check, but it was just a little bit too close after the 15K, and I really hadn't got anywhere near 13 miles. One could say, well, if you can do 9, you can do 13, and you're probably right, but I just would have liked to have been a little bit more trained for it. And so then his wife, the race director's wife, started emailing me saying, hey, where's the money? Essentially. And I wrote back so that they would know that I had changed my mind, that I wasn't trained well enough to run. To which she replied, well, that's a shame, since my husband went out of his way to make you a personalized bib number, which I thought was a bit rude. I thought it was a little bit of a bullying tactic or an unnecessary remark. Perhaps another remark would have been, well, thank you for considering the run, Norman. We hope to see you in another race. But no, she sent the remark of, oh, that's a shame because my husband went out of his way to make you a personalized bib number. And I felt the way that I just shared with you. And my alternatives were to simply ignore that email and realize it for what it was, or to respond back with something pithy or spiteful, or to respond back with an additional apology and an additional expression of thanks for the job that they do and for going out of the way for me. And that's the one I chose. I sent back saying, I'm very sorry about that. Please pass on my apologies to him. It's just at this time, this is my decision. And that was that. And I got no email response back. So there you go. That little episode. on Cedar Trail now. I've covered almost my first loop of the hammock. What else can I tell you? I can tell you about work. It was the same old song and dance. It's extraordinarily stressful. It's getting more stressful. I am unhappy for almost the entire time I am at work. I am bombarded by the complaints, the insinuations, the accusations of the patients that come before me, people that come regularly and may or may not be seeking something other than healthcare, like service connection or drugs. I am asked to see more patients to get them through, but at the same time, with a new doctor on board, I'm asked to slow down and proceed methodically. So there's a lot of push and pull and tearing and scratching at me that I hope my upcoming two-week vacation will repair, because I feel as though I have no other options but to persevere. It's not an option of quitting and finding another job, because in life, you have to be able to work through difficult situations and with difficult people. So, there's that. And it is March, and March is one of my favorite months for a lot of reasons. The weather, there's that sense of springtime in the air. My birthday is later on this month. I pass by the ladies. I think there's a bicyclist behind me. Let's just get to the right here. Good morning, how are you?
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's March. My birthday's coming up. Got a couple weeks off. Towards the latter end, the weather's gorgeous. We're moving into spring. And so, for this moment, and just right now, as I run through the hammock, just now, only now, because that's all I got, is now. I feel good. So, until the next time we get to speak, this is Just Norm, and I do love you guys, and as I've promised in the past, if I got anything to say about it, we'll talk again, and until whenever that time is.